Hurkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булан. Дадаж дуудан дур булан мууруулаа.
What's up, people? Adam Hunter here. We've got another MMA Roasted podcast coming right at you. It's going to be awesome, okay? I got Sean McCorkle on, my man, Big Sexy, Bellator star, UFC star, a man who beat Mark Hunt, the legendary Mark Hunt, in under 1 minute. He'll be here, as well as James Vick will be calling in, okay? James Vick is awesome. I want to thank our sponsor, Santa Cruz Medicinals. They got potent CBD-infused coconut oil, olive oil, MCT oil, vape pens, and more. It's gluten-free, vegan, paleo, and sugar-free, lab-tested. Okay, it's made in Santa Cruz, California, so you know it's good. Go to scmedicinals.com. SC Medicinals. I'm telling you, I use this stuff. They have CBD-infused clay masks, okay, with French green clay. Real organic lavender. Your girl will love it. You'll love it. Okay, it's perfect. They have CBD infused popcorn. Yeah, you could use the get a tablespoon of coconut oil and put it on your popcorn. All right, when it's movie night. CBD infused salad dressing. Okay, their salad dressing is a perfect way to get CBD into your routine. Yeah, you're eating healthy, salad, and you relax. This stuff rules. Also, Speedweed. Listen, people. Marijuana is legal in California, and there's no reason you have to leave your house or your apartment or wherever you live. They will deliver it to you. Don't sit there online at the dispensary like it's Black Friday while the guy tries to pick up the bud tender who's cute, and you're there all day and you spend gas, and it's a pain in the ass. No, get it delivered right to you. Yes, go to speedweed.com or follow them at Speedweed. Mention Roasted, you get $10 off orders of $100 or more. So definitely check it out. The guy Gino is a great guy. We're going to talk to Sean McCorkle right now. Hello, Sean McCorkle.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Just living the dream. It's not my dream, but I'm sure somebody's dream at some point.
So we are talking to UFC, former UFC stud, guy who beat Mark Hunt in 47 seconds, Bellator veteran, now retired, Big Sexy, Sean McCorkle, who beat Mario Pudzianowski by Kimura, who's fighting this weekend, by the way. Do you know that?
Yeah, I do. I think he's fighting another strongman guy, from what I've heard. So I wish him the best of luck. It's going to be hard for him being the second strongest man in the world after I took that title.
Yes.
I declared myself a new world's strongest man after I beat him. He didn't like it very much. But no, I wish him nothing but the best in maintaining his number two spot.
Weren't you wearing a T-shirt with your face on it, or with his face on it?
No, I wore his T-shirt to the press conference, and they asked me why, if I was fighting him for the rematch, am I wearing a shirt with him on it? And I said that sometimes I forget who the second strongest man in the world is, and I like to look down and be able to tell who it is right away. So
now, was he the strongest guy you ever fought?
I wouldn't say. I mean, strongest, but not functional strength necessarily. Soa Pulele, when I fought him, he felt like a gorilla, literally. It was a nightmare. But as far as I'm sure he's overall strongest, but as far as knowing how to use it, you know, and functionally, no one's ever been stronger than Tom Erickson as far as, you know, functional strength of a guy. I didn't fight him, but I trained with him all the time. That's a joke. I mean, he beat up me and Matt Mitrione at the same time. One time we tried to jump in. That was he's a monster, but yeah, I mean, Pudzianowski is definitely strong. He's no joke, for sure. If he'd have started earlier, there's no telling what he could have done.
Right. Now, do you miss fighting?
Do I miss it? No. I miss being in real good shape, and I miss, I mean, there's parts of it I miss, but overall, I never really enjoyed it that much, man. The stress. Everybody's afraid. Everybody can lie and say they're not, but everybody's afraid before a fight. You're afraid of something, be it of getting hurt, or mine was always fear of embarrassment. You know, like I was always terrified I would luckily beat Mark Hunt in my first fight and then get a co-main event slot in one of the biggest pay-per-views ever and completely shit the bed in front of 70 million people, which is what I did in my second fight in UFC. Like completely gassed out in 90 seconds. So, you know, I was always afraid something like that would happen, and turns out I was right. So, the fear is well warranted.
I don't think you shit the bed against Stefan Struve. I think that nobody looks at that fight and says, oh, that was an embarrassing performance. I mean, especially a guy like Stefan Struve, who has a win over Stipe Miocic. There, you know, in the top 1,000 embarrassing performances, no one will even put that in there.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It just embarrassed me because I was a really good day for that, and I literally didn't sleep the entire week. Just the stress of it all. I kept thinking, you know, I got to do something here because I had a real pathway to go in life before that. And Dana White told me right before I walked out, he said, "If you win this, it'll change your life." He said, "We're gonna make you a superstar." I mean, literally, as I was walking out to the cage, I was like, "Great," because I didn't have enough pressure already. So, just couldn't sleep that week, was stressed out, and it's not Dana's fault, obviously. It's my fault for not getting sleep, and I went to test, so if you take anything, you'll test positive for, you know, like I went to take Dramamine, which is an anti-motion sickness pill that I usually take when I fly. I was going to take that because that'll make me sleep. They told us at the, when you check in, they say, if you take anything at all this week and don't disclose it, you'll be suspended, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't understand how it worked back then, that all you had to do is tell them you had taken Dramamine. I thought it meant you weren't allowed to take anything. So I was just, didn't take anything to sleep. I literally slept probably 5 hours a week of the fight, an hour to an hour and a half a night, and was completely gassed out as soon as the fight started, really. Just was not there physically. So
what are your thoughts about, like, a guy like TJ Dillashaw who got popped? We don't even know what for. He just said he got flagged. I mean, and then, you know, my thoughts were always like steroids were for guys like Pudzianowski, you know, or to make you stronger.
Right.
But this guy lost 10 pounds, arguably looked the worst he's ever looked.
I would be shocked if he got it. I mean, to take steroids down in the UFC, you have to be an idiot because it's really, really, or you have to have a really, really good doctor or, you know, someone doing it, chemist doing it for you. But, to do it now, the chance of getting caught with as much as they test you are almost guaranteed, you know, but it's also completely out of control. They've got guys testing positive for stuff that aren't even performance enhancers. Like, I think Chad Mendez tested positive for some sort of medicine for psoriasis. Like, if that stuff is helping you fight, I've never heard of it, and I've never heard of anybody, you know, else, doing it to enhance the performance. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And now you got the whole John Jones mess where if you've taken them before and they're still in your system, I guess now you're clear to continue taking them. Like, it's just insanity. I wish steroids were allowed in all sports, personally. I think it would be better all the way around if they would just test guys at fight time and be like, you're allowed to have a certain amount of total testosterone at fight time or fight week or whatever. And then, I went off testosterone allegedly while I was in the UFC. I was actually prescribed it. I was on TRT before I was even fighting, and I was afraid I would test positive for, you know, steroids, LDL levels, testosterone. So I actually went off of it. The official story is I went off of it the whole time. What I actually did was just switch to testosterone propionate, which has a 3-week detection time, and just took it while I was training. Didn't take it 3 weeks before the fight, you know, so I was still really low on testosterone going into a fight, but it's not healthy. I mean, you saw what happened to Vito Belfort's body and Chael and these guys, when they go off of TRT without any kind of post-cycle therapy or post, you know, like TRT therapy, it destroys your endocrine system, you know? So I was smart enough to know how to beat it, but I also was never tested the entire time I was in the UFC. So I wish I was taking more things. Truthfully known, I never got tested even once for anything.
Yeah, one of my funniest interviews I've ever seen was when you told the kid, "This is going to be whose steroids are better, mine or his, against
Pudzianowski." Yeah. I said, because I know we're both running, so I had a feeling he had better access to him, even though I wanted to fight. I said, one death to fight, even though I won the fight. His were probably better than mine overall. I was only taking at that time, I think I was only taking testosterone and HGH. HGH is a wonderful thing.
Why?
I wish I could still afford it, but hey, that is the fountain of youth. So I've heard.
But why is it wonderful, for real?
Okay.
Why is HGH so wonderful, for real?
You feel like you're 18 again. You don't get tired as fast. I don't mean like cardio-wise. I mean like your body, your muscles just don't get tired as fast when you're training. You can go longer, sleep better. Your injuries heal. Like, you get a bruise, it's gone in a day instead of a week. You know, it just it takes about 6 months for it to really start, you know, affecting your system. But when you're taking the legit stuff, like not this Chinese stuff that people say they have all the time, but if you're taking the legit stuff that's from a pharmacy or from a doctor, you know, like it is amazing. Your skin looks younger, your wrinkles go away. It's just everything. Every time they take my blood work out to the doctor, it's so funny. They always say, "Man, you have the blood work of like a 20-year-old kid. It's amazing. You don't have any signs of aging at all." I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know why." So, I kind of do know why. I assume it's when I was taking HGH, it helped out a lot because I've never been a big drinker or drug user or anything like that. So I don't, shouldn't have a lot of damage to my organs, but they always can't believe my blood working. I attribute it to that, or at least I think so.
So what are the negative aspects of it?
If you have cancer, it'll make you die real fast. I've heard that. But you're supposed to get a cancer screen before you start taking it. It can make cancer cells grow. And the guys, I mean, you've seen pro bodybuilders that get a big top belly that, you know, their stomach's sticking out real far. That's because their organs are growing actually inside them from taking HGH. And if you take too much, it can make your organs grow. It can make your bones grow. But there are, there's signs. There's warning signs on any of that stuff. Like if you were taking too much, let's say, for example, I might have taken too much at one point, trying to find out where my sweet spot was, and I started getting tingling in my hands and feet 24 hours a day. And then I talked to my doctor about it, and he said that so I was taking too much that that'll start to make your cartilage grow, which will start touching nerves and making you feel tingling in your extremities, or whatever. So that's one warning sign on how you know you're taking too much. Just if your head gets any bigger, that's probably a warning sign. I don't know that mine could get any bigger, but if my head was to get any bigger, that would have worried me. But that kind of stuff is permanent too, those growth changes. So you can even see what Bigfoot Silva, not that he was taking HGH, but whatever his tumor he had, I think, was making his pituitary gland excrete a bunch of HGH, naturally. And so it, exaggerates your features, make your hands and feet bigger, stuff like that. So if you overdo it, there's a guy, your buddy, Rich Piana. Your buddy, Rich Piana, I saw you took a picture with him.
Yeah.
He's got a whole thing. He's got a whole thing on YouTube where he talks about the dangers of HGH, that he used to wear a size 11 or 12 shoe. Now he wears 15. His hands got bigger, his, head got bigger.
Well now he's dead.
I think HGH will be as common as in 100 years as Atville is now. I think all the rich people already take it, all the people, celebrities in Hollywood. I heard about it when I took my ex-wife to get her boobs done in Beverly Hills because she had to have the best doctor in the world when I used to have money. But I took her out there in 2005, her 2004 or 5, and the doctor out there that did her boob job was telling me about HGH. I'd never even heard of it, and because he was that Dr. Ray guy, the fruity guy from Dr. 90210, that show. He Brazilian guy. He looked like he was about 22, and he was 46 or 48, I think. And I said, "How do you stay looking so young?" He started telling me all about HGH. So he was pregnant, and saying that everybody else in Hollywood does too.
Now, do you think, now John Jones claims he has no idea what he took. He doesn't know how it got in. Do you believe that he was ignorant to the steroids that were in his body?
That one specifically, maybe. I don't think there's any way he's never taken anything before. I heard, unless I'm misinformed, but I heard him and his brother tested positive for the same banned substance, which I would guess they're working with the same guy, if that's what they were doing. But I don't think now he's taking anything because of the screw disease he's under. I don't think we were that good at fighting. He really needs to take anything. That would be overkill. I don't believe the tainted supplement thing. I'll never believe that. Somebody's taking a high-grade pharmaceutical and putting it in your protein powder, probably not, But as far as the one he's testing positive for, that's not really one that I've ever even heard of or that anyone would use. So that's a strange thing. And you would think, I don't know John Jones personally, but you would think he would have learned by now, but every time he gets in trouble, you would think he would have learned last time, So, but I just don't think, I don't know, man. I don't think if he was taking anything, that it would be at a level, the levels of detection, that's not going to improve your performance. It may help you out mentally as far as giving you a little bit of confidence, but at those levels, it's not going to improve your performance and make a difference. And he can't get anybody up anyway, so he doesn't need, that. But now the way they're testing that, that testing is really, really hard to beat, the testing is using it. I know guys that have been tested 3 times in the same day, by the water, whatever it is, I know they've been tested literally three times in the same day. They come back, once and then 2 more times. So you're not gonna beat them, not for very long anyway.
Now you're one of the, obviously you're a good friend of mine. You've been up to my wedding, my birthday party. I love you as a brother. I was very concerned about you a lot of times because we would hang out and you would be in so much pain that you were taking. Yeah. You told me you were taking 30 painkillers a day to get for your back.
I'm probably the only non-drug addict to take 30 Percocet in a day. For an extended period of time, it was my back was so bad, man. I can only equate it to a migraine headache, but in your back. And it was every doctor told me I was a drug addict or insinuated it. Told me it was crazy. It couldn't be hurting that bad. So I went to that doctor, Dr. Peter Welling in Germany, the same guy that Kobe Bryant went to, that Aaron went to. Dana White's actually the one that sent me to him. that got me in there. And I went there, and he told me I absolutely should be in a massive amount of pain, you know, based on my blood work and based on the way everything looked. And they did. I had severe problems with my L5-S1 facet joint. But, I did that therapy that it's called Regenikine, where they take your blood out and reshoot it back in you for 6 days straight. And I thought it didn't do me any good for the first 2 weeks. I was brokenhearted. I paid about $20,000 overall to have it done, and I was brokenhearted because it didn't seem to get any better. And then after about 2 weeks, I was considerably better. Like, I woke up one day and it didn't hurt as bad anymore, and got considerably better ever since. He said it will only last 2 to 4 years, and it's been right at 2 years, I think, since I went, almost 2 years since I went. So I plan on having to go over there again at some point here pretty soon. Because I never want to go back on the pain pill thing. Is it?
Oh my God! I honestly was like, I was.
There's no end to that. The more you take, the less they work, and it's just it's never ending. You know, it's just. But then, I mean, I was in bad enough pain. I should have been in the ER when I didn't take them. You know what I mean? I had to go to the ER if not. So it was an endless cycle. It was crazy.
No, I remember thinking to myself, this might be the last time I ever see you, because I was like, there's no way. This guy is gonna, and it was really. I was gutted, because I'm like, I may not see Sean ever again. I mean, I don't understand how he's gonna take 30 painkillers, and not to mention the Ambien you were taking to go to sleep. I can't imagine how many of those you were taking, and you were still fighting.
Yeah,
I gotta fight in 2 days. I was like, Sean, like, you can't walk across the street. We're going to Cantor's Deli. You cannot. You're in pain across the street. You're like, yeah, but Roy Jones called me and told. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about Roy Jones calling you.
I did say no to Roy Jones Jr. That was my hero.
I'm like, have you trained for this fight? You're like, I did about 10 minutes on the treadmill 2 weeks ago. I go, what?
Yeah.
And
yeah, that was bad news, man. That was I was hit presented with these opportunities. It was just too much money at the last minute to. You know, so they would offer me too much, and I would be like, I'll do it for $30,000. Like, I went and fought this Satoshi Ishii in Japan for $30,000 on 30 hours notice, except they didn't pay me. They only paid me 15, and they said the other 15 later, and I was like, okay, well, I took the fight on 30 hours notice, spent 26 of it on a plane, and you guys are going to pay me $30,000, and, you know, I was like, that's before my back was terrible. It was still bad, but not terrible at that point. But I thought $30,000, I'm a lot bigger than him, he's light heavyweight. Yeah, I'll give it a shot. And I go over there and got poked in the eye early in the fight and submitted. Which I wish it would have lasted longer, I wish I would have done better, but I literally got poked in the eye. There was nothing I could do. I couldn't see. And the video's out there somewhere where you can see me get poked, but I was on the ground, got poked, couldn't see, and he got me in a submission. And then they didn't pay me more money, so I would have done it for 15. I didn't even want to do it for 30, but I thought I had a decent shot of winning. It was 50-50, and for $30,000 and it's in Japan, I was like, I'll do that, you know, or whatever. But it was a rough way to go there for a while, man. It's that pain like that. I wouldn't wish that. Well, I wouldn't say I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I wouldn't wish it on most people. There's a few people I might wish it on, but it was the worst. I mean, the worst thing I've ever had to go through in my life. It was for about 3.5 years. I mean, literally, just unbearable pain, 24/7. So it was nothing I ever cared to go through again. That doctor's a genius over there in Germany, and he's a lifesaver. Dana White was the guy turning on to him. I owe him. Dana's actually, did I tell you my really cool Dana White story?
Yeah.
I did or didn't tell you? I can't remember.
No. Out,
tell
it again.
Bubba McDaniel. Bubba McDaniel's little boy was allegedly murdered. We're not sure exactly what happened. They're still waiting to press charges on a guy, but I don't know exactly what. But Bubba McDaniel's one of my really close friends, and we were trying to go fund before him, and I hit Dana up, and I'm not super close with Dana. You know, and I talk to him maybe once or twice a year. And just asked him if he could put the GoFundMe on his Instagram. Didn't expect anything. Didn't ask for anything. I know he has people asking for. I was asking for tickets. Like, I don't like to bother him or ask him for anything. Hope he doesn't get mad that I'm putting this out there. But I asked him if he would mind putting the GoFundMe just on his Instagram, you know, or Twitter, because he's got so many followers. And he said, "Well, how much are they short?" And I was like, "Well, I think if the goal's 35, I think we have 8." He goes, "Well, I'll just give you a check for the rest." And he said, "I'll have my secretary call you. I'll just do the last 27." And I started laughing. I said, "Well, don't send it to me. I don't want to. I said, I got it, you know, or whatever. I put him in contact then with Bubba. But for Dana to, I mean, Dana knew Bubba from the Ultimate Fighter, but it isn't like he didn't know him anything. Didn't know him, but for him to just give him, you know, $27,000 without even thinking about it. You know
yeah,
I mean?
No,
whatever.
Dana's got a huge heart.
Short and had a secretary call in 10 minutes and they got it set up. I thought that was an awesome, awesome thing to do, man.
That's the thing about Dana. You know, Dana's got a huge heart and he doesn't like. He's not like going to help somebody out because they're going to do something back for him, you know?
Right.
You know, he's like, if he likes somebody, he likes somebody, whether they're homeless or whether they're the, you know, president of whatever records. He just, that's the thing about Dana. You know, Dana's given me, I mean, who the fuck am I? Like, the best seats in the house when he could have given it to anybody, you know, just because Dana, and because I like make him laugh. You know, Dana's a good dude. I like Dana. Dana's a friend of mine, and, yeah. And when it comes to stuff, like, obviously, you know, Dana's a good dude. Now, I mean, there are so many funny Sean McCorkle stories. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, sometimes just following you on Facebook, there was a guy that was like hitting on your ex or harassing your ex. So you put his phone number out, and then you like went to his driveway and tried to fight him or something.
Yeah.
What happened there?
No, this is Jesse Parsley. I met one time, and I only knew it because I knew his baby's mom. That's how I knew who he was, and met him literally side to him one time for 2 minutes. And we were friends on Facebook, and I would constantly see him post pictures of him and David Beckham next to each other, like they look like each other. He looks like retarded David Beckham, maybe. You know what I mean? Like Kevin
right.
Beckham, his brother with Down syndrome or something. Like, he doesn't look at all like him. And he's constantly hitting on any girl I know, like nonstop on Facebook, which I don't care. None of my business. I have a girlfriend. But he would to go around telling people, hey, do you know Sean McCorkle? He's my best friend. He would tell people that. So his girlfriend was kind of vicious, and they got in a huge fight. And so she said that she was going to sleep with me in order to pay him back, because that would really hurt, I guess, if your best friend slept with your girlfriend, even though I had never met her and wasn't interested. And, you know, I'd only met him once. And so instead of blowing it off, or instead of just contacting me like, hey, please don't sleep with my girlfriend if she tries to, he hits me up and starts threatening me. He knows that my kids go to school, this and that, if I touch his girlfriend again. And I was like, dude, number one, I've never met your girlfriend. Number two, don't ever talk to me like that again. You know, I said, I don't know you, you know, or whatever. I don't know your girlfriend. I've never met her. Keep me out of here. You know, white trash stuff. You know, I don't know anything about that. And he started threatening me. Yeah, wait till I see you. And I said, well, where are you at? I'll just come to you right now. And then you can do whatever you're going to do. You know, we don't have to wait. I'll wait till you see me. He said, I'm at home. I said, what's your address? I'll just do it. And he said he would shoot me. I said, okay, well, I'll bring my gun too. And I want to see you shoot me when I come to the house. What's your address? And he gave his address, so I drove there. So I was like, you know, I get there. He's standing out front with his two daughters, hiding behind them. And he calls 911 when I pull up to his house. I get out of the car. I'm like, you're calling the cops? Like, I thought you were going to shoot me. What's going on? And he starts saying, don't. He's talking to the probably the 911 on the other end. He goes, what's that? You're going to rape my daughters? Is that what you said? What's that? You have a gun? You're pointing at me? You're going to kill me? He starts saying all this ridiculous stuff. Well, I was smart enough to be filming the whole thing without him knowing. I was just holding my camera in my hand, you know, filming him. And so he starts saying all this, and he calls the cops on me. I left before the cops came, because I said, okay, you're not going to fight me. That's what I thought. You're not going to shoot me, so don't leave me alone. Don't talk to me anymore. I leave. 3 weeks later, I get a notice from a court appearance that I've had filed, you know, charges filed against me for intimidation and harassment via computer network, because I was posting his business reports saying that he ripped someone off, you know, online, which I thought was funny. And so I got things for intimidation. I tried to call the prosecutor. He won't talk to me. I didn't know it was against the law for someone to be afraid of me, but apparently it is. And so I hired a real expensive attorney, and she basically just sent the video and our Facebook messages to the Photoshop Facebook written him. So we sent the actual ones in the video, and they dropped the charge. It still cost me like $3,000.
Now, was it the same judge?
So ever since then, I've just been getting him back on the internet, pretty much.
Was it the same judge that, remember, your ex that like started reading your text messages?
No, that was a different one. That was awesome. I was in divorce court. That was great. I was in divorce court, and they wanted me to bring my ex had tried to bring old emails or text messages where I, you know, called her a bitch or called her stupid or whatever. So my lawyer said, I need you to bring other stuff that proves that she isn't one-sided, but she's also being hateful when she talks to you, you know? And I was like, okay, well, no problem. So I searched through my emails, and I found one where she said my ex-wife had told me why we were still married or going through a divorce. She goes, you think just because you have a huge dick, you can have any girl you want? That's not the way it works, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so my lawyer told me to highlight the hateful thing she said. So I made sure I put that one on top, and that was highlighted, and she had to read it out loud in court. She said, we're going to make her read it out loud in court. But he didn't know. My lawyer hadn't looked at the paper. And so he puts her on the stand. It's like, would you mind reading this for me? And that was the one that was on top. And so she kind of looks at it. She goes, I have to read this? And the judge says, yes. And she says, he goes, who is this talking? My lawyer asks. And I asked, who is that speaking? This is you speaking to him? And she says, yes. He goes, and what did you say? The highlight section. And then she says, just because you have a huge dick, you think you can have any girl you want. And I'm like, yes, it's on the public record. In her expert witness opinion, I have a huge dick.
Oh, so, my God.
That was so if you search my name somewhere 100 years from now in the court records, hopefully that will correlate. So.
Speaking of your huge dick, your girlfriend is adorable. She's such a sweetheart. I mean, especially when you guys aren't when you guys aren't fighting. But
which is always.
But she's like 5'2". Like, and you're now probably like 320. You're 6'6". How does that work? Like, do you just put like the head in there? Like, how does that work?
It works out great for me. I don't know how it works out for her. It works out great for me. So,
Have you ever been on top once?
Maybe. There's different options. You learn to get creative when you're as big as I am. But it works out. But usually, you know, probably better for me than her.
Right, right. Of course.
But, that's the case in all situations. That's in all relationships. But I don't know any other way. So
of course.
I was a virgin when I got married. I was I stayed a virgin until I got married the first time because I was raised in church and raised the right way. So I was a really good guy. I went to church my whole life, and what was all new to me was I got married at 19, was a virgin, and then had a woman that I'd been dating since I was 8 years old, ruined my life.
Right.
But I still came back out on top, I guess.
Well, not on top because she's on top. Now one of your friends is having a really hard time. R. Kelly.
Yes.
What's going on with you and Kells? Have you talked to him since the whole documentary?
I have not. I used to prank text him all the time as a guy named Tron 2013, and I met him one time just as a joke. I thought it would be funny to meet him, and I knew a girl that knew R. Kelly, but he came in, it was. At his studio, which apparently is some sort of den of iniquity or something, I don't know now. But
yeah,
I was at his studio and he came walking in. I was hoping he'd be in a Zorro outfit.
Hold on. Like, now let's explain. Why were you at R. Kelly's studio?
I knew a girl that knew him. It had been one of his music videos before. She hit me up one night and said, "Hey, R. Kelly's having a party. You want to go to it tonight?"
Right.
And I was like, "Is it like that? Like a release party where there's gonna be thousands of people?" She goes, "No, it'll just be him and a bunch of girls that look underage and." That's about it.
So it's a release party, but nobody's being released because they're all hostages.
Right. Yeah. It'll be an album release or people release party. I went there and it was just a bunch of people doing cocaine, which isn't my thing. I kind of just like, all right. He shows up 2 hours late. I was getting ready to leave and he wasn't dressed like Zorro or anything. It was so disappointing. He was just in a Chicago Bulls like sweatsuit and smoking a cigar. He came in way happier than he probably should have been. Given his circumstances, but he was all happy. And at one point we're sitting there, they only play R. Kelly music and videos at an R. Kelly party. And he's got a bartender who charges you for drinks, which was awesome. Like it was awesome. They're charging me $10 a drink. I thought it was the funniest thing ever. Cause I'm like, it's just like being in someone's living room and they're charging for drinks. I was like $10 a pop. And so, we're sitting there and all of a sudden the music stops, everything stops. The lights come on. It was like the night was over, party's over or something, you know, when a club closes. And all of a sudden, R. Kelly's like, "Man, what happened to the music, man?" Or something like that.
Right.
And all of a sudden, some girl, this white chick starts singing, "I Believe I Can Fly," a cappella for no reason. And it got really, really awkward because she was very off key. And she goes through the first verse, and we're looking at each other. There's only like 20 people there. We're all looking at her, and like, why is she doing this? And then so she gets to the end of the first chorus, and then we're all like, okay, cool, that awkwardness is over. And then she starts the second verse. Like, starts singing that. I was like, this is too good to be true, man. And, yeah, so she starts singing the second verse, and then also the music came back on. Everything went back to normal. But it was that was an odd night, man. That was strange. I went over to meet him, and he goes, and his two-body hug comes up. I said, hold on, we got to see if it's okay for you to approach Kells. That's it. And I was like, okay. And he goes, "Oh, it's okay." He said, "Come on over." He said, "They say you're a fighter, right?" I said, "Sometimes I don't really want to be."
Right.
He said, "Just don't hit me. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?" I think he said what I'm saying.
Right.
But he's like, "You know what I'm saying? Don't hit me." And I was like, "No, it's cool." I said, "I only hit people for money, or if they show me even the slightest bit of disrespect." And then him and his two bodyguards kind of like looked odd at each other, you know, like we're kind of confused. And then just sat and talked to him for a few minutes, and I asked him how he stayed looking so young, and. The truth is, he probably drinks the blood of children or something. But at the time, he told me, he goes, did he ask how old I was for some reason? Because I said, I remember when your first CD came out. He said, you ain't that old. And I said, no, really. And he said, how old are you? at a time, I think I said the 36. He goes, man, you look so young. And I said, yeah, it's HGH, you know. Apparently, that's all I talk about. But I said, it's HGH. He goes, ah, I started laughing, you know. And I said, how do you stay looking so young? And he goes, like, how do you stay looking so young? And he stops and he looks off into the distance and gets like a gleam in his eye. And he said, I just stay on stage, nigga. Like that, and I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever heard in my life. Like, that was apparently, that's the fountain of youth, is staying on stage.
Right.
And I'm allowed to say the N-word because he said it, and I was just quoting.
Of course, Chris. So you got his phone number, and then you were texting him, pretending you were someone else, right?
Yeah, because he gave me his number, but I never told him, I never gave him mine. Like, I never texted him. So I would just text him on my phone all the time, and I would just text him like this guy who was trying to hook him up with girls, because the girl I knew told me if you approach him with a girl or about a girl, he's all ears, you know? So she said he'll always respond if it's about a girl. So I would be like, hey, I got this girl that's trying to meet you, you know what I'm saying? And I would sign everything Tron 2013, because it sounded like the kind of guy that would hang around R. Kelly. I don't really know what it means, but every time I'd have a tagline, Tron 2013. And so and I would send a picture of a girl that was obviously just off the internet. Like, I just pulled a girl up off the internet, and he was like, all right, give it a number, dog. And so one time I actually Googled girls who R. Kelly would think is hot and would like to meet. And so
then it said
search results for girls who R. Kelly would think is hot and would like to meet. And
was it like the Olsen twins and like That's So Raven, or like, was it like people like that? Was it like the?
Yeah, it was like blatantly like you could read that it said Google search results for girls R. Kelly would think it's hot and like to meet. And then I just like a couple of girls, and I was like, yeah, this girl I was texting, she's the third one on the right. He's like, all right, cool, give her the number, dog, we'll hook up. Like, he didn't even notice that someone was pretending like I was just Googling girls to send him. And
it was in the snapshot. It was actually in the shot. It was the Google search was in the shot. It was actually like you could see it said
Google results for girls R. Kelly would think it's hot and like to meet. And then it was like a picture. It'd be a picture of like 10 different girls, and I was like, she's the third one down on the right. And he was like, all right, cool, dog, hook up the number, we'll hook up later.
That is so funny.
It was awesome. And then if I ever got tipsy, I would just give his number out to people randomly and have him text them. It was really funny.
You also wanted to find, I remember you tried to collect money from that. I actually saw that guy at a comedy show, the guy who's like the instant millionaire guy. Did you ever get money from that guy? The guy who makes those videos?
Ty Lopez?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I actually went to his house. They said they never heard of me.
Let's start this. So Ty Lopez, yeah. Everyone knows, is the guy you put on a click on a YouTube video, and he's reading a book in his mansion and has a Ferrari. And he says, I read a book a day. I started off, I was homeless, and now I'm a millionaire, right? Or a billionaire. And,
right.
And then you
he
called.
He tells you how he made all his money, but he's going to tell you if you give him $69 a month.
$69 a month, and then you called him on his bullshit, right? Or his
right,
alleged
well,
bullshit.
I told him, I said, hey, I just said on Twitter. I said, I can't figure out why, if you're so rich, why is your house rented, and why are the cars rented too? Like, if you're so rich, like, why do you have to rent stuff for your commercials? And he was like, what are you talking about? And I said, that house is rented. I know that house, man. I know. And that's about real estate to know a 16-bedroom house in Beverly Hills, he's not a fort. There's no way. It's got to be a $30, $40 million house. You know?
Yeah.
And so I hadn't even looked the house up. I just knew there was no way he owns that house, you know? And so he was like, I'll bet you $100,000 cash. Like, that was supposed to scare me. I'll bet you $100,000 cash that it is that house. I do own it, this and that. And so all I did was I watched his video for a second. He said, yeah, this house has 16 bedrooms, 13 bathrooms. So I just searched Los Angeles real estate for it. Like, Googled Los Angeles real estate for rent and put in minimum of 16 bedrooms, minimum of 13 bathrooms. The house came right up, short-term LA rental, you know?
Yeah.
And it was the exact house in his commercials. It was for rent daily, $1,500 a day if you wanted to rent it. So I assume he just rented it for a day or two, filmed his commercial, you know, moved out. And or just used it for the day, you know? And so I sent it to him online and said, well, there's your house for rent, and it was active as of today. So unless you're the one renting the house, because you're not the owner listed, so unless that's not your name, Ty Lopez, unless your name is Gary Miller, whatever name is on the owner's thing, then you just rented the house from your commercial, and it is still for rent, so you owe me $100,000. And so he said, you said, and the cars, like he said, you know, this and that. Someone told me he was on Logan Paul's podcast the other day, and he talked about it and said that he leases the house. He doesn't rent it, so that's why he doesn't owe me $100,000. And so a lease is even worse deal than renting it, because you're locked into it and you don't get to keep it. But,
right.
Someone told me Logan Paul had asked him about that situation and said, do you rent that house? Because somebody said you rent it. He's like, no, it's a lease, which means you don't own it. You know, like,
right.
You said you don't own it, but he's full of it. He starts, I actually went to his house when I was out there to go either to your wedding or we did something. I don't remember what we were doing out there, but I went ahead and went to his house while we were there, and I buzzed the front buzzer and said, hey, it's Ty home. And they were like, Ty who? I said, okay, this is a real buzzer that is. And I said, oh, he said he owns this house. And they were just quiet, you know?
Yeah.
And I went around in the backyard and tried to get in, but the house looked vacant, so I'm not sure.
So how's your physical right now? I mean, I know that, like, you got pretty heavy. Are you working out? Have you lost some weight? How do you look?
Trying to, man. I'm working out since my back was making it really hard on me, man. But I'm trying to get back in shape. Getting ready to go on spring break with my little boy and his friends. So that's the plan. But yeah, man, it's rough. When your back hurts like that, man, there ain't much you can do, man. It ain't.
Yeah,
it
of
ain't
course.
No fun. I've been talking about it. I'm working on it. I want to get a podcast. I kind of want to get a video podcast started up, but I want to get, I've got a couple of goals. Like, first, I want to get in decent shape, you know, if I'm going to do a video podcast, and I want to get some decent guests lined up, and then I want to weasel my way into being friends with Joe Rogan, and then see if I'll threaten that I'll fight again, and then he'll try to convince me not to, and he'll just give me a whole career in podcasting and t-shirts and like a show and stuff and everything, because I've heard that worked before for Brendan Schaub, but I'm not sure.
This sounds very familiar. Brendan Schaub, I actually ran into Brendan Schaub the other day. He was nice, talked about being parents and stuff, and we were backstage at the Comedy Store, but you don't seem to like Brendan Schaub. I'll just put it out there.
Not a fan, no. He started it too. So.
He started with you, right? He was like...
He got mad because actually, a couple things. He got mad because him and Matt Mitrione were going to talk trash back and forth. They make a deal that they're going to trash each other on Twitter. Matt tells me, hey, I'm going to give you my Twitter password. Feel free to go off on Brendan Schaub. It's going to be cool, you know? And Matt said, whatever's cool, doesn't matter, he's fine with it all. So I just lighten him up, you know, like right off the bat. He says something about Matt's wife, something really personal about Matt's wife, so then I get even more personal, and I started really doing it before I knew it. The story is that Sean McCorkle stole Matt Mitrione's Twitter password and was doing what happened at all.
Yeah.
But that was the story, and then so Sean was mad at me, and he was talking shit about me in interviews. Dude, you can be mad at me. I didn't hit him on, you know, Twitter. He's mad at me. I didn't do anything. I was part of it. I was asked to do it, you know?
Of course.
And so we were out trying out. You remember we tried out for that, or did audition for that Spike show that never took off?
Yeah.
It was going to be like Talk Point Over with Fight Video. So we were out there, and Brian Callen show up. Callen, nicest guy ever, funniest guy. I'm talking to him. He's cool. Shop wouldn't even acknowledge my existence. I'm there. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. Someone asked him about me another. He doesn't say much, anything. I'm watching Joe Rogan one day. Someone told me that they were talking about me on there. Tim and Joe on there. Rogan's like, yeah, well, cool, man. He's a real funny dude, this and that. And you could see it was like Schaub. It was like if your dad was talking about how well someone else did, and he's not talking about you. Like if you can be the same one, he's like, man, your friend did really, really good. It was just devastation on Schaub's face, you know, or whatever. Like, that was pretty funny, dude. You know, whatever. Like, that's what he's like. Yeah, I guess he's just. Anyway, I changed the subject real quick or whatever. Didn't want to. God forbid, give me any shine for even a minute.
So, no, but here's the thing, though, Sean. Like, you're hilarious. I mean, you are one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. Like, funnier than 99% of the comedians that I've known. Your writing is really good. Like, you're just a funny person. You're charismatic. I think you could be twice the comic that Brendan is. Like for real. Like, but you have to put the work in. But you have to put the work in. I mean, yeah. I mean, he. Right. I mean, the thing about Brendan, you know, like I've never seen a stand-up comedy, so that I've heard about it, yada yada. I don't know about it, but he does put the work in. You know, he's at the comedy clubs. Right. He's working on his act. He's traveling. So you can't knock a guy who's putting in the effort. It's when people don't put the effort and get the success. Yeah, we can go into, well, you know, should he have a Showtime special versus should I have a Showtime special? There's a lot of shit that you could go into, you know? I'm not going to go into there. I'm talking about, but as far as you, like, if you actually did the shows, you would be killing it, though, man. You're so funny, bro. For real. Like, legitimately funny.
I don't know, man. I'm worried about the travel, man, and just... I don't know. You know how I am about getting in front of people. I can't stand it. It's I don't know. I don't like being on stage or being in front of people. That's actually scarier to me than fighting. Because fighting, you know, just like knowing what to do. Like, I don't know. I tried it once. I've thought about doing it, but it just, it isn't about the money for me. Like, I would enjoy doing it, I think, if I could make it. But I just, man, I don't know. Just being in front of people. It's the fear of failure, I guess. Like anything else in life, the fear of failing, like the fear of bombing. And I know everybody's got a bomb. It's like when you start MMA career, you know you're going to lose at some point.
Right.
You know, like, you know, at some point you're going to get beat up and lose and the embarrassment of it. But the thought of bombing to me is terrifying for some reason, which is so stupid because I've already been as embarrassed as you can possibly be on national television, you know?
And you also wonder, you also had an event where you invited all your ex-girlfriends. You had a pillow fights or something, and then you went up there and started listing every girl you slept with, right, in the middle of the ring?
Well, I named a few. Mainly what I did was I called out the commission, and I said I wanted to thank them for them helping me out, getting the show going and all this different stuff, and just wanted to let the commission know that I took steroids the whole time I was fighting, and there's nothing they can do about it now. I thought they would think that, like, people would think that was funny.
Yeah.
And it was dead silent. I said that over the microphone, and it was dead silent. Like, 2,000 people at my show just stared at me, and I was like, well, this must be what it feels like to bomb.
And then after your show, after you beat Mark Hunt in Indiana, didn't you give a finger to all the people who bet against you?
Yeah, I had actually known friends that bet against me. Even money betting against me, which... I mean, it was probably the smart bet, but I could never bet against Matt McGrone. If he was fighting, I could never put my money against him because then I would hope he would lose, you know?
Right.
And I could never be in that that kind of position. But yeah, I found out several of my friends were betting my other friends against me. You know what I mean? That there's no way I could win. And, I thought that was really funny. I enjoyed rubbing it in people's faces probably more than I enjoyed, you know, the actual winning or whatever. Just the fact that everyone had told me, like, I was convinced. I didn't know that everybody thought I was crazy for thinking I would win. I was convinced I was going to win until the first time he hit me. And the first time Hunt hit me, I thought, sweet Moses, man. I could have backed up and was shocked at how fast he was, you know, which I guess I should have been, but I just didn't expect to be as fast as he was and moving as fast on the speed as he was. So the second time he hit me, I thought, you know, I may be in here with the wrong guy. Like, I don't know
right.
if I'm doing the right thing or not. But up until that point, I always thought it was easy. I'll just take him down, submit him real fast. You know, I pretty much ran through everybody in training, didn't think it'd be a big deal. And I mean, training with decent dudes, but I mean, I didn't think it'd be nearly the speed it was. But after I fought him, I can understand why other people thought I would lose, you know, or whatever. Even though I won quickly, I was losing the fight until I submitted him, losing badly, you know. So,
well, and doesn't your kid refuse to play your character in the UFC video game?
yeah, that was an awesome story. So I was so happy to be on the video game just because I thought that'd be awesome for my son to have your dad on the video game, you know. And so they send me the copies of it. They send me the THQ or whoever made it, sent me copy for PlayStation or Xbox or whatever, 360 when it came out. And so first day I get it, I bring it in. I tell my son, get it loaded up. I go upstairs to make a phone call because I get better reception. I come back down, and he's playing his Cain Velasquez versus me, and I'm just getting murdered. And I'm like, come on, little dude, you got to push. I'm telling him the buttons, you know, look on the books. You got to push A and B to get up. You got to do this and that or whatever. He goes, Dad, I'm Cain. And I was like, wait, what? He was only like 8 years old. I was like, wait, what? You're Cain? And he was like, yeah. He goes, he has like the 99 on everything. And he goes, no offense, but you're really going to suck on him. And I was like, wait, so you're playing against me on the game? He's like, Dad, you're like the 82. Cain's the 99. And I was like, all right, buddy, no problem. And so, then I got paid $2,000 to be on the game, and I lost all interest and never played it again. I literally have only played it one time ever. When I got my residual check that day, it was only $2,000. I thought I was getting 20 to 100, you know, from everybody I talked to in WWE and had talked to other people that had gotten, you know, been on video games before. Like, yeah, I know the NFL guys all get about $15,000 apiece. Oh. Even the fourth string offensive lineman gets $15,000 from that, you know. So I figured 10, 20, 30 the minimum, and then thought, oh, well, maybe do 100 because that's what WWE guys get, 100 to 150. Each for the video game, and I thought, well, if comparable sales, maybe we'll get that. But yeah, when I got a $2,000 check, then I called Miguel Torres, and he said he only got $1,500, and I felt a lot better about my $2,000.
Wow. Well, listen, yeah, Sean McCorkle, we got to have you on all the time, dude. Now, what's a day in the life right now for Sean McCorkle? Like, I know that you own your house, and you own your car, and you live in Indiana, and you told me that you don't work. You were, like, retired. You made $1 million, but you lost $1 million. Then you made money. Then you lost money. Then your ex-wife took all your money. It's like you're like a fucking Lifetime movie, but for men.
that sounds terrible.
like, what do you do all day?
Today I woke up. Let me see. Today I woke up and I made my CIA picks. So I was working on my bracket, and then I went to the store to grab something to drink. I went and grabbed a Gatorade, and then I went watching the games today. That was pretty much today. But no, it's not like I don't do anything, man. I spend a lot of time. I didn't get to see my kids very much the first 6 and 3 years of their lives because I was working. I had my business. I was working literally 80 to 90 hours a week every week. Didn't take a vacation for 6 years. Had a real big business I was running, so I never got to see them. So when I was able to spend some time with them, I spent like the summer. My son's about to be out of school. I'm taking him. Well, he's going to be out of school after tomorrow. I'm taking him and 3 or 4 of his friends to Florida for spring break. I'm going to take them down there for 10 days. And then we spent a lot of time working on his basketball during the summer. Spent a lot of time with him. And I've got some stuff. I invest in some stuff here and there. Make some money here and there in the old business I used to be in. Sometimes I used to ship damaged and new electronics and appliances and equipment out of the country to Mexico. I had a recycling company. It's a long story, but I still make some money here and there doing that. Like I'll have, you know, ends with companies like Sears that I used to deal with and Best Buy, stuff like that. So occasionally I'll work on something like that, some stuff to my, you know, export some stuff out of the country. But when your house is paid off and all your bills are paid and my utilities are paid a year or two in advance, I mean, how much money do you really need? You know, I don't have any bills. So it's like, I eventually, you know, I was working promoting for a while. I was managing fighters for a little while. And I'll still get guys fighting. You know, because of that. Getting fighters fights. But I wanted to get it real big into promotion. And there's just no money, man. There's just, you know, Weiss invested so one time it's the losing money business. And that's really, I mean, they're making all the money. They take everything you're going to make. And if we're on a show, an average show, you could clear $10,000, let's say, on a weekend on a show. They take about 8 to 12 of it now, depending upon how much they charge you for different things. So everything you would have made before goes directly to them now. I put on 3 different shows, all 3 shows. 2 of them I lost about $10,000 the first time, about $6,000 the second time, broke even the third time. And I was like, okay, I'm not doing all this work just to break even or to lose money.
Right.
So I was managing guys for a while till no one wants to fight. I made the mistake of thinking other guys were like me, but I mean, I've got guys who are 1 or 2 fights away from the UFC, so I get them a deal to fight for $2,000, and they want more money. They're like, I'm worth more than that. And I'm like, to who? Like, I don't know. Who do you think? Like, you're fighting in another state. Like, no, you're not selling tickets. Why do you think you're worth so much money? We have a favorable opponent. You know what I mean? They're willing to bring you in. They're going to pay your travel and $2,000. I won't even take a commission, like, just to get you to the UFC. You know, like, well, you keep your thing. Let's do this. And guys just don't want to fight, really, is the problem I kept running into over and over again. Nobody wants to fight. They want to talk about it. They want to pretend to be a fighter. They want to. When I got cut by the UFC, man, I fought 6 times in 7 months at one point, just trying to get. I was fighting for as low as $1,500. I just wanted to get back in the UFC. So if I could get a favorable matchup, an easy win, I knew I was never going to make a living fighting on the local shows. You know, like that's not how it works. So I had to get back to the big show, and that was my goal. You know, to get back to the big one. And I won 6 fights in 7 months. They still didn't want me back. But, you know, at one point I was 18-2 trying to get back in the UFC and couldn't. I had only lost to Stephen Struve and Christian Warcraft and went over Hunt and won 6 straight, all in under 3 minutes. And couldn't get another shot at heavyweight, which I thought was weird. They brought a lot of guys back, like Ken Hague and guys. I mean, my friend Dave Herman, I think, went 1-5 in the UFC.
Chris Tersher, they brought him back like 50 times.
Yeah, something that I just said, man, Joe Silva liked me. I mean, he was a good guy. I think he told me when they cut me that the risk wasn't worth it. And I was like, I don't know what that means. And he said, well, you just say so much controversial stuff, and, you know, it's only a matter of time for, you know, set some bad light on us, and it isn't like you're ever going to be the. I mean, he didn't say this, but more or less, like,
yeah,
you know, you have the gist of you're not going to be the UFC heavyweight champ, most likely. So, you know, like with you saying stuff. I mean, I never said anything horrible ever. Like, it's all to be funny. Like, it's never intent to hurt anybody, you know? Like, it was all supposed to be funny, so.
It was funny. It is funny. I mean, you're hilarious, bro. And your Matt Hughes book review was the greatest thing ever.
Still legendary, yeah. People still talk about that more than they got me fighting in the UFC. I was, when I first got my deal with the UFC, it was so funny. I was in Chicago trying to get into a club, and this guy's like, oh, Sean, you don't have to wait. And I thought, man, how's this guy? This guy must be a super UFC fan, because I didn't know I hadn't even fought in the UFC yet. I didn't announce I was in. And I come walking up, and he was like, man, that Matt Hughes book review was amazing. Underground, baby. And throws me the underground hand sign, and the bouncer lets me in.
That's what Rogan, when I was with you and Rogan running. Wanted to talk about that. Rogan had all these questions about that. Remember, we saw Rogan at the Ice House.
I completely couldn't hear a word you just said. What'd you say?
I said, when we saw Joe Rogan at the Ice House, that's all he wanted to talk about, was the Matt Hughes book review.
Oh, yeah. That was all meant to, that was before, I only fought, I think, once or twice when I wrote that. That was just meant to be a parody, to be funny. And it took off, man. I thought back in the day, they used to ban me underground, where they would block me or ban me about every week because I would say something they didn't like. And so I figured, you weren't allowed to fighter bash on there. So I reviewed the first couple chapters of the book, just made two or three line quips on it. You know, I figured, oh, they're going to delete this and ban me anyway. But then I saw the moderators like, please give us more. And I was like, okay, well, apparently they like this. So that's when I really started putting some time into it, and may or may not have added a few instances that weren't in the book. I don't know. I don't really recall. It's not too fresh, but I may have, may have souped it up a little bit.
Well, if my TV show gets picked up, by the way, Pin, you're going to have a part in it. You actually did come to my wrestling practice one time, and I told all the kids, if they fuck around, they got to wrestle you. That was the best.
Yeah.
That was the best.
They might have beaten me. At this point, they might have won. What's your new show? I haven't talked to you about it. What do you got going on?
No, I shot a pilot. I wrote a TV show about – I wrote a movie about, you know, the Mighty Ducks of wrestling. I tried to raise money. I only raised X amount of money. So then I turned it into a TV show, and we actually shot it last weekend. We finished it. So now I have to edit it. Yeah, so now I'm trying to sell it. And if I sell it, I'll obviously have all kinds of characters I got to write, and there's definitely going to be a character for you. 1,000% a character for you.
I would love it. That'd be awesome.
1,000%. Well, listen, man, I gotta get to James Vick, but thanks so much, Sean. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, man. See you later.
You're the best.
Appreciate it.
All right, that was Sean McCorkle. He is next level funny. Always have love for Sean McCorkle in my life. Dude is he's a good friend, man. He's a really good friend, and he's a good dude, and he's I wish that guy the best, man. He's funny. He's legitimately funny. It's funny because, like, just with comedy, man, it's not always the funniest people that are comedians. It's the people that stage fright's a bitch. But, like, there's a guy that if he actually just did it, I think he would be successful. He's got the mind for it. He's got to slow down a little bit talking, and that's coming from a guy who talks really fast. But he's a really good writer, and he's fearless, and he's funny, man. I mean, he's quick. He's on it. He's on it. So we're calling James Vick. I think I screwed this one up because I waited too long because McCorkle. But we'll see. We'll see if he picks up the phone. Yeah, I knew that was going to happen. We'll try him again. Oh, wait. Oh, I'm calling the wrong number. Okay, here we go. Thank you for listening to this podcast, by the way. If you guys enjoy it, tell everybody. I love hearing your responses on Twitter, Instagram. Sometimes when I do Instagram Live, you guys are like, oh, I love your podcast, but I like it when you actually say it too, because then I retweet it and we get the word out. There's just so many podcasts right now out there. Everyone's got a podcast, and you know, the more people that talk about your podcast, the more people go, oh, wait, what are they talking about? I want to be involved. And it's just like the key to marketing, I guess, or life, is to get people to feel like they're missing something fun. Let's
Oh,
come on, James. Let's see. This is my fault. This is my fault. This is my fault. Let's see if he picks up the phone. Here we go. What's up, people? March Madness is upon us. It's another huge month in sports across the NBA and NCAA. There's only one place to get in all the action. That's betonline.ag. Support our podcast by going to www.clnsmedia.com/winning. And use the promo code CLNS50 for a 50% sign-up bonus. That's CLNS50. BetOnline.ag is your online sportsbook experts. In the NBA, the biggest matchups this week are the Celtics versus the Hornets, as well as the Hawks versus the 76ers. And with plenty of excitement and drama happening on and off the court, you don't want to be left on the sidelines. Go where the action is. At betonline.ag. Go there now. Yes. Go where the action is. Because CLNS Media and BOL are offering you a 50% sign-on bonus. That's 50% by signing up at clnsmedia.com/winning and using our code CLNS50 with your first deposit. Yes. Go to clnsmedia.com/winning. Use promo code CLNS50 for your 50% sign-on bonus today. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, guys, I got to talk to you about CBDMD, all right? CBDMD is USA Grade A Premium CBD. Okay, it's organic,
It's grown in the U.S., processed in the U.S., non-GMO, gluten-free, and vegan. They sent me a box of this stuff. I've been taking these CBD gummies. Oh, it's amazing. I feel so relaxed, less anxious. They have CBD dog treats I give to my dog. He's been more relaxed than ever. And when he's excited, he's happy. He's jumping around like Air Bud, all right? And CBD helps support or achieve relief from a multitude of everyday ailments, including stress, anxiety, inflammation, and sleeplessness, okay? They only use 100% organic hemp grown, and they process at their farms and facility in the U.S. It's gluten-free, vegan certified, okay? And their CBD oil tincture drops are also non-GMO. They use a broad spectrum CBD extractions through independent third-party laboratories to guarantee the highest of standards. CBDMD is committed to providing the best in CBDs. They stand behind this, okay? They got an easy-to-use service. It's free shipping, satisfaction guarantee, and U.S.-based customer service, all right? In addition to the natural flavor option, they offer a variety of all-natural, award-winning flavors, mint, orange, and berry. And each variety provides just a hint of flavor to leave your taste buds satisfied. And their comprehensive line of products includes not only but gummy bears, which is what I take, capsules, an all-natural sleep aid, topicals, bath bombs. My wife loves the bath bombs, okay? And human-grade pet products and vape oils, all right? Now, they're offering a free, unique offer to our listeners over at MMA Roasted, okay? Go to www.cbdmd.com. Enter the code ROAST at checkout to get 20% off your order. I use this stuff, okay? Definitely check it out. Some exclusions apply. See the website for full details, all right? And these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, all right? The product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, okay? Check it out. Hope you enjoy.
Sexual performance issues, way more common than you think, okay? It's not good. 1 out of 4 guys suffer from ED, but it can be treated. Yes, today's your lucky day because Hims is a wellness brand for men. You've heard us talking about Hims, and if you haven't yet, get on board and stop struggling with ED. Because why do guys turn to weird solutions or to do nothing? They can instead turn to medicine and science. Getting older sometimes means certain parts of the body might not be working as much as they should. So start revving that engine again with ED treatment from Hims. ForHims.com, it's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Listen, don't get defrauded by online sketchy marketplaces. It's hard made easy. Being your best means performing your best, okay? It's been featured in GQ, Men's Health, Esquire, and Playboy. Listen, the first month is just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last and subject to your doctor approval. Restrictions may apply. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/MMAroastED. That's forhims.com/MMAroasted. forhims.com/MMAroasted. What's up, people? Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. While other brokers just charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees. So you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. You can view easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. How great is that? You can also view stocks collections, such as the 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moments to invest. And Robinhood is giving listeners of MMA Roasted a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. So sign up at mmaroasted.robinhood.com. How you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Good. So are you in Texas?
Yes, sir.
Nice. So what's new in the life of James Vick?
Do what?
What's new in the life of James Vick? What's new?
Nothing's new, really. Just, raising my son, trying to be a first-time parent, dealing with him and hunting some when I get a chance and then still training and stuff like usual.
How old's your son?
He's good. He's he's about to be a year old next month on the 8th. April 8th is his birthday. He'll be a year old.
Oh, nice. Congratulations, man. I have a 7-month-old. It is not easy at all. Does your wife work or does your girl work?
No, she stays at home with him, but even then it's still not easy.
I don't know. It just sounded much easier than me. My wife works. I got to be with the baby 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., then do comedy at night. Ugh. God.
Oh, okay. It's easier for her, but not for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Does your baby, like my daughter, if I leave the room, she flips out. Like if I take a shower and put her in the crib, she's like somebody's like murdering her. Ah! And then I have to like bring her in the little chair while I take a shower and then play peekaboo with the screen on the shower screen so she doesn't get mad at me.
Yeah, he always, especially his mom, because so my girl breastfeeds, so he's like just all the time trying to get the titty all the time.
Yeah.
And then he's in the phase, you know, he's getting in that phase where he's starting to take little slow steps, so he's getting close to walking, and you got to save his damn life every 2 minutes. You know, he's about to fall off the bed or something, and he don't even, you know, he's oblivious. He don't even know what the danger he's in, but I feel like I got to save his life every couple minutes.
Now, I kind of feel in a way that I'm like a cock blocker to my wife's tits. Like, my baby's looking at me like, what are you doing? You're just getting in the way. Ha ha ha, hey, Mr. Nice Guy. Get out of my way. I want the milk. Do you kind of feel that way at all?
Oh, yeah. Now we've been playing with him. We've been messing around with him a little bit. And when he starts playing crying for his mom, I'll grab her and give her a hug. And then he runs over there real quick. Or he'll crawl over there real fast. And he'll try to, like, lay his head on his mom and try to get between us and stuff. And he gets all jealous and shit.
Oh, like, I've literally, like, had to, like, get up. In the middle of the night, my baby, she's crying, and then I take her and I throw her on my wife's tits, going, "Get him," and then go back to bed, because I'm just like,
yeah. That's why I'm happy. I mean, my girl's kind of she's kind of a real hippie type anyway, so I'm really glad she, you know, obviously she wants to breastfeed. She's a hippie, so I'm glad she breastfed, because it made my life a lot easier not having to get up in the middle of the night and do stuff when she, because it's not like I can get up and, you know, breastfeed. So
yeah, but now like her tits are off limits. Like even during sex, I can't grab my wife's tits anymore because either milk will squirt in my face.
Me neither. I already know. Yeah, because it's, you know, the milk and stuff in there. I already know.
Yeah, like I go right for her vagina because I'm like, there's nothing. Like if I go for the tit, either milk's gonna squirt or she's sore and tender. And plus, like, yeah, it's just like it's just not fun anymore. I mean, they're just not really like the same tits as they were before. I'm sure they'll go back to being that after she's done breastfeeding. But right now, it's just like I don't want to shoot a load of milk in my face.
I'm glad I'm an ass man because the tits are off limits when the breastfeeding comes.
Yes. Oh, so you're like you go right for anal?
No, I wish. She won't let me.
Yeah, same here. And then there was another guy that she did anal with, but she said because he had a small penis. So I always bring him up whenever in a fight. I'm like, yeah, well. She said she felt bad for him, and I'm like, yeah, well, you had anal with. She's like, whenever she mentioned my ex, I'm like, well, I didn't even. At least my ex didn't bang me in the ass, and it was just, it's a whole thing. So, you know.
Oh shit.
I hear you. So how are you, man? Man, your last fight. I thought you won that fight, or it was very close. I thought they could have easily given you that fight.
Man, to be honest with you, going back and when I was in there, I knew it was close. I'm going back and I'm not going to be that. It's too close to cry about, you know. And I'm not going to be. And I obviously didn't have the performance I wanted. But going back, watching the fight, I 100% thought I won the first two rounds. I thought I won the first two rounds. I thought in the first round. He basically only landed the calf kicks, which you couldn't see the damage of in the first round until later on. And he landed that one back fist. But I mean, the strikes were pretty much even. He landed, I think, one more total strike than I did. And I landed more significant strikes than he did. So I definitely thought I could have won the fight. But, I mean, it's too close to call. And, you know, I can't complain. You know, it's definitely depressing still. But,
I thought you won, and then I thought because he had like a collapsed lung, that became the story, not how close the fight was. You know, which is, I mean, guy obviously, you know, fight. I mean, good for him, but it's like, dude, I was like, wait a minute, I thought that they were gonna raise your hand, and I was confused. I honestly was confused.
I honestly didn't think I was getting my hand raised. I'll be honest with you, because in my opinion, and I'm like I said, I'm not going to be that dude. So please don't do no what do they call that, clickbaits and shit.
Yeah, I'm not. I won't.
Stupid ass articles and shit. I'm not going to be that dude claiming I got robbed or whatever. It's a close fight, but to be honest with you, I knew I wasn't going to win the decision. I mean, you know, in my opinion, beating Paul Felder by decision, unless I just handily won every round easily, I knew I wasn't going to win. Let me rephrase that. I knew I wasn't going to win a close decision. To me, fighting him, as good as he is in standings with the UFC and stuff, fighting him is almost like fighting someone in their hometown.
Right.
So I had to really put a dominant performance on it. I didn't. You know, it was too close, and it's what it is, you know. It's depressing for sure, but... That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, was it hard coming off the Gaethje fight? Because were you a little bit gun shy? Were you a little worried about your chin? Were you kind of thinking a little too much in there?
Not at all. It was the calf kick, 100%, man. It's the calf kick. There's never been a move like this. Calf kick is a complete game changer in MMA. It really is. These old school MMA coaches and kickboxers, they don't understand it. It's not a regular low kick, and they don't understand until you've been in there and you feel that. Even in sparring, you feel it. It's a complete game changer. There's never been a move in MMA where you can take like a, and I'm not saying, okay, I'm gonna say me and Felder are on the same level. Obviously, we're very close fighters or whatever, you know, records and opponents and everything, you know, even stats when we fought, but. There's never been a move in MMA besides someone just landing a big haymaker where you can take a C-level fighter and they can fight an A-level guy and they can land three or four of these moves and it puts them on level playing field. There's never been a move like this.
Right.
There's never been. Or you can take two A-level fighters and one of them can land three or four of these calf kicks and the other guy's a C-level fighter all of a sudden because you have no arsenal. It takes your whole offense away when this happens. The only options you have, which what I should have did, to be honest with you, is I should have just wrestled and won a boring decision. That's just not my nature. I'm a striker by nature, but I could have wrestled him, and I feel like I could have wrestled him and maybe not submitted him because, you know, he's never been finished, but I could have got him down, did some work. He probably would have worked himself up a couple times, and I could have won a boring decision and just got the win. But that, to me, that's the only two options you got when with this calf kick is you have to either wrestle or you have to switch stances. Mm. And I did switch stances, but my arsenal wasn't as good as I would have liked it to be from the southpaw.
Were you surprised that he could take your punch? Because a lot of people that you, when you land on the punch, it's over.
I wasn't surprised because, you know, I mean, he's never been finished. And I hit him with a solid right hand, but it was right on the cheek. If I would have hit him probably 2 inches lower, I don't think he would have took it. If I would have hit him directly on the chin, I definitely think I would have hurt him pretty bad. And I think I did rock him once or twice as well. But I didn't have a jab, you know, when, you know, my coach, there's so many people messaging me, like, so they just don't understand that the whole calf kick thing. And you see so many people get messed up with it right now. They're like, oh, well, you need to get back to your boxing. Why don't you jab? Well, you think my fucking intentions wasn't to go in and start jabbing this dude? Of course it was. But when you know you're one or two low kicks, calf kicks away from having to set to your butt, you know, you have to adapt, you know? And I just, that's the first time, you know, I've ever not been able to make a mental adjustment like on the fly the way I should. I should have found a way to win, to be honest with you, you know?
Is that going
to
be your new thing now, calf kicks?
I mean, I saw how big of a threat they how bad they were when I saw I landed them on Joe Duffy, and it drastically changed the course of that fight. If you go back and watch that fight, that first round was very close, and he maybe even won that first round. But I landed several of those calf kicks, and come the second round, his whole volume was cut in half. Like his output was completely different. He wasn't throwing as much volume. And then, you know, he ran into the big shot. But even last week, Joe Duffy fought again, and he got beat basically with the calf kick. You see, I mean, basically, like I said, the only thing you can do, there's never been a move like this in MMA. And seriously, the only thing you can do is you can either switch stances or you can wrestle. Or you just go for broke. I think that's what Cody Garbrandt, what happened to him the other day. I think Cody Garbrandt got hurt with the calf kick. And he had already started switching stances before he even decided to just go for it. And he went for broke and he paid the price. But I think he knew that he couldn't take too many more of those.
Right. You know, right. Okay. All right. I got it. I mean, It's crazy. Every couple of years, there's a new thing in MMA where it just like changes the game, you know.
And this one. I mean, this calf kick is crazy because it's going to be a move. It's going to be a move that's going to be around forever, and people are going to have to start literally changing their whole game plans around this. Because I'm telling you, when you take three or four of these, it's different. It's not like getting hit with a regular low kick.
Of course. That's crazy. I didn't even factor that in. Now the fights this week. Let's get some of your predictions. Stephen Thompson, Anthony Pettis.
I think Wonderboy smokes him. He smokes him easily. This fight is, I mean, basically just because Pettis is a former world champion, the only reason why he's even getting this fight. Like he, I would be shocked unless an act of God happens. I think Wonderboy smokes him bad.
Have you ever trained with Wonderboy?
I haven't. I would really like to. Because I've been really getting into karate. I've been training karate really hard the last year. This Olympic style point karate. I found a coach here in Dallas. I've been training with him. I really am enjoying it. So I would like to go train with Wonderboy. He's offered before. I mean, he's put the invite out there for me when I talked to him and stuff, but just never been able to get up there.
Now you're by the way, you're on a different topic. Your baby mama, is that the same girl that came to like your fights and that would scream real loud?
yeah, when she was drunk, yeah, that's her.
Now, and I mean, she looked hot as hell. She had these like smoking little outfits and screaming, or the entire arena was looking at her like, what? Now, how loud was she when giving birth? Did the hospital shut down?
Honestly, I don't think she was that loud. She didn't want to get the epidural, and she fought it for like the longest time, and then right before it happened, she ended up getting it, you know. But she handled it like a G. I was surprised. She yelled a little bit, but not too bad.
Yeah. Totally. Now, did you look? Because my wife was like, stop looking. But I had to look.
She wanted me to look. It was kind of scary, man. When that baby's head came out, first of all, it looked like an alien. And then I thought, I was like, shit, man, my kid's head's deformed. What the hell's wrong with him? But I wouldn't, you know, I didn't realize that his head's still all soft and
yeah.
Not developed
yet. Same here. It looks like a cone head, right?
Like a cone head.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, totally. I'm like, was Tito Ortiz the father here? That's what I was thinking.
Really?
Oh, shit. Yeah, same thing happened to me. All right, Curtis Blaydes, Justin Willis.
I got Curtis Blaydes. I think he wins that fight. I think he's going to wrestle him. I think he's going to win.
Bryce Mitchell, which is the guy that actually his nuts exploded because he accidentally like drilled his nutsack. Remember, like on like remember that he accidentally he was like
an open fighter.
Yeah, he was the construction guy, and he actually drilled his nutsack by accident.
He had the shaggy hair, right?
Yeah,
not super long, but mid cut shaggy hair.
Yeah.
He's
taking on Bobby Moffitt. You know him? Good fighter.
Bobby Moffitt. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's pretty
I've
good.
Seen him maybe, but.
He's out of Arizona. Angela Hill, Randa Marcos.
I don't know. That's a toss up. I think Angela Hill's technically more of a skilled striker and probably can also avoid the ground game, but she doesn't have huge power. I'm gonna go Angela Hill.
Yeah, I don't know. Randa's like one of those weird fighters where I think she's gonna lose and she wins, and then she wins the fights and she's gonna lose. It's just one of those like, you know, like just one of those girls that like pulls off fights. So all right, so then UFC March 30th, Edson Barboza versus Gaethje.
I'm gonna go with Barboza. I think that. I think Barboza's key is not just going for broke right off the bat, because it could be a few rounds because Gaethje's so durable. But I think that Barboza hits him clean, and I mean Gaethje can always land. You know, he can land that big bomb. I know that firsthand. But I think skill level wise, they're light years apart. I think that Barboza's the most skilled striker in the UFC, but he can be broke. He can be broke, and he has broke before. So it's a matter of Gaethje can take that damage before he can break him, and I'm not sure he can.
Are you and Gaethje cool now? I know there's some bad blood before your fight.
I mean, we don't really talk or anything, but right. I mean, if I seen him, I'd be like, what's up, and be cool or whatever. I haven't really seen him since the fight, though, or anything.
Right, right, right. Michael Johnson versus Josh Emmett. That's a good fight.
Yeah, I'm going to go I'm gonna go with Josh Emmett.
Jeez.
I think that Michael Johnson has been in a lot of wars, and the last couple fights he's had have been very close. The Feely fight was really close and was, you know, questionable. I'm gonna go with Josh Emmett.
Then coming up, we have some other good fights. We have let's see, I'm looking at a fight right now between
my boy Sadiq Youssef's fighting on that card, March 30th. I'm flying up there.
I love that guy. He's a good dude.
He's fighting Shema Marais.
Ooh,
win that fight easily.
I like Sadiq's got 20 brothers and sisters. You know that he's got like 7 moms.
Yeah, he's from a polygamous household in Nigeria. He's been my roommate when I go do my training camps.
Wow.
6.5 years, and he's like my brother.
Is it hard because he has to call all his moms and say goodnight? Like, it takes like 3 hours?
You said what?
Is it hard at nighttime because he calls his mom to say goodnight to him, but it takes him 3 hours? Because he's like, goodnight, mom. He calls the next mom, goodnight, mom. Max Holloway, Dustin Poirier.
I got Holloway in that fight. I think they're both completely different fighters than they have been, than they were in the past when they fought. But I'm gonna go with Holloway.
Kelvin Gastelum versus Israel Adesanya.
This is a tough one too. This is a tough one. I mean, I'm gonna go with Israel. I'm gonna go with Israel, but this is a tough fight to pick.
Yeah, because Israel's never fought a wrestler, and Kelvin's a damn good wrestler.
Israel has really good hips, and he has good defense, and he has good cardio and good stand-ups. I mean, you know, Derek Brunson, when he fought him, you know, there wasn't much wrestling involved there because Israel shut him down real quick, and Brunson's a pretty high-level wrestler as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but he doesn't use it a lot of times. He's kind of like Gaethje, where he just wants to go out and, like, brawl. You know.
Yeah, he tried wrestling with Israel though, and Israel shut him down like 2 or 3 times, and then from there he got caught.
Yeah, that was a crazy fight. That I never seen Brunson look so bad. Like, that was crazy. Brunson's a good fighter. And then if Colby Covington fights Kamaru Usman, who do you like in that fight?
I got Usman all the way. I think he's just better everywhere. I think he's more well rounded. I think he's better striker, better grappler. I think he wins.
Do you think? Are you a fan of Colby or not?
Not really, man. I don't think his persona is real. I mean, and I'm not trying to be a basher like the rest. But it's like, I don't know. I don't think it's real. Just because he was never like that before, and then all of a sudden one day he woke up and decided to be like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to believe he's always been that way. You know.
Yeah. I know. I mean, you know, it's funny about you is that everyone's always like, man, Vic's talking a lot of shit. I'm like, dude, that's James Vic. You guys just weren't paying attention. James Vic
like I just started talking shit. I don't disrespect my opponent. Gaethje's really the only one I've ever disrespected, but I've always been confident and always carry myself like this. I don't know what the fuck motherfuckers think. I just all of a sudden woke up that way like that.
Yeah.
Maybe Colby Covington has been like that and I'm wrong. I don't know. But that's just from the outside looking in, not knowing. That's what I see. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he has been like that.
So, have you talked to Joe Silva or Sean Shelby about a next a fight coming up? Any for you?
Joe Silva ain't been around in 5 years.
Good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's it. What am I talking about? Maynard, who do you want to fight next? Have you talked to them?
I haven't talked to them. They haven't. I'm thinking maybe I'll run into them in Philly next week when I go. So I guess we'll, if I run into him, we'll see what happens. I mean, I wanted to fight, you know, May or June. But I was hoping the UFC was coming back to Texas, but I didn't see anything on the calendar for them to be coming. So I don't know what they have in store.
Do you want to move up to 170 or stay 55?
You know what's funny about that is so I had the worst weight cut of my life with Gaethje, right? And everyone's like, oh, you need to move up to 170. The problem is it's hard to tell someone to move up a weight class when they've never missed weight and they've always cheated the diet, right? So I cheated the diet, and I had the worst fucking weight cut I ever had in my life against Gaethje, right? And I swore to myself, I'm not going to cheat again. I said, if I follow the program and it's still this miserable, then I'll move up. So I followed the program, bro. And I had that one. I mean, I guess there's a reason why I'm paying this George Lockhart this money, and maybe I should follow his fucking advice, obviously. So I followed the program, and I had one of the weight. I probably had the easiest weight cut I've had in 5 years against Felder. I only did two sauna sessions. I did one sauna session, one bath, and I was on weight the night before the fight. I mean, before the weigh-in. I've never made weight the night before like that.
Right.
So I'm like, instead of moving up, maybe I should just quit being a fat ass and changing my diet.
Well, you are like 6'9". I think that's also the problem. And then you look like the guy from The Machinist when you weigh in. I mean, you look like people are like, there's like flies around you. People are sending you food.
I get it. I get it. But I fucking felt great on fight night. I felt great. The weight cut was the easiest I've had in several years, man. And I felt great on fight night and everything. I mean, I just got caught with a damn calf kick.
Right.
That said, I still thought I should have won.
Yeah, me too. By the way, RDA versus Kevin Lee, that got announced. Who do you like in that fight?
You know, actually, I might go with Kevin Lee on that, man, because I think RDA is, he's been in a lot of wars, and the one thing he struggled with, the only thing that he struggled with, really, is besides when he got caught by Eddie Alvarez, and in recent years that he struggled with is grapplers, is high level wrestlers.
Yeah.
And I think Kevin Lee's gonna wrestle him, and I think that we'll see how much RDA has left. I mean, you know, I think a lot of these guys are, you know, talking about, everyone talks about old people getting old. I think it's just more mileage than anything.
Of course. Were you surprised, by the way, by TJ Dillashaw getting caught?
I was a little surprised. I mean, I mean, you've heard that, you know, the rumors before that he was on it and stuff like that from, you know, even some of the Alpha Male guys were saying that stuff. And, but if you've been that long in the sport and you've never been caught, then, you know, I was a little surprised when I woke up and read the information.
How many guys do you think are on stuff?
I mean, I think USADA definitely helps, but I mean, to be honest with you, I don't fucking trust USADA. Like, I think they're a joke too. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't trust them. Like, I literally, because I'm so afraid of, like, I just don't like how they can't give you an answer for shit. They say, oh, it seems good to us, but take it your own risk. That basically is saying, you're telling me it's all right, but if I get popped for a tainted supplement, fuck you. That's what they're saying. You know, I'm literally basically scared to take something. I hardly take anything at all.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 of course.
Because I'm so afraid of something happening. Because there has been people that have, you know, Yoel Romero and Tim Means legit got tainted supplements. That's exactly what happened. Like, that, they didn't cheat. They legit got tainted supplements. And that was proven. But that's always on their name. It's tarnished against their name from now on, you know?
What are your thoughts about John Jones?
I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, that's another reason why people think you saw it as a joke, shit like that. You know, I mean, John Jones is obviously the greatest fighter of all time, but when you do two fights in 3 months and there's still stuff in your system, I mean, I don't get it. It didn't make sense to me, but I ain't no doctor, no, you know, or anything, but it don't make sense to me or any other fighter I know.
Has anybody ever offered you, like, backstage or like in the locker room, hey man, you're pretty good, but you'd be better if you take this?
No, I've had a couple people in the gym and stuff, oh, you should take this. But you know what's funny about a lot of these performance enhancing drugs that people talk about? I've never really had anybody in the gym, and keep in mind, in Texas here, I trained at six or seven different gyms back home, because I got to drive to a bunch of places to get work. And the only thing anybody's ever said to me about performance enhancing drugs is that they say, oh man, you should take this, it'll help you recover faster. They've never said it's gonna make you bigger, stronger, faster. They say, hey, you should take this because, man, especially after injuries and stuff, when I've had a few surgeries, they're like, oh, you should take this, you'll heal way faster.
Any of the guys that you've
scared,
yeah, go on.
Go ahead.
No, has there any guys that you fought that you felt them? You're like, oh, this dude's on something.
I mean, not really. I don't know how to tell if they're just strong or they're on something. You know, I mean, Honestly, a lot of the guys that I fought, I didn't feel like they were any stronger than me. You know, anybody that's ever been able to really do much to me in fights, I think it's because, like, even from a grappling standpoint, it's because they've been grappling their whole life, not because they're way stronger than me. You know, it's because they grapple. You know, they've been grappling since they were a kid or whatever.
Right. Yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, it's just it seems like a lot of times it's like there's like six guys out of one team that get popped for the same thing, you know?
I think UFC is regretting this whole USADA stuff. I really do think they are, but it's too late to go back now, I think.
Yeah.
Because they got all these superstars getting popped and shit. I mean, I think, you know, they would rather just be ignorance is bliss and act like they didn't know if they could go back and change it.
Who do you like, by the way, Al Iaquinta or Donald Cerrone?
That's a tough fight too. I like Al. I like Al in that fight. We'll see what happens. I think Al can hit him. Cerrone does get hit with some shots, and I think Al was going to step in. And I'm sure he's going to take some leg kicks and stuff like that. But I think the grappling will cancel each other out, and I think it's more of Cerrone's kicks versus Al's boxing. It's a pick 'em fight, but I think I like Al in that fight.
Was Al a psychopath when you were in the Ultimate Fighter with him too? Was he like? Did you know that there was something off with him?
No, Al was a super cool guy, man. Me and him were super cool. He was a cool dude. He was obviously. I didn't get to train with him. We lived together, but he was on the other team. But I didn't get to see how he trained and everything, but I did see that, I did hear he worked hard and he grinded out practice and stuff, but then he did like to drink. I would drink, and he wouldn't do it, I guess, you know, in a couple weeks leading up to the fight, but right after he'd won a fight on the show or something, he would drink a few and get pretty drunk.
Yeah, and I know people and that I get text messages from him at like 4 a.m, 6 a.m, like just cursing them out, and then at like 11, like, yo, man, we're good, right? And it's like, it's from Al, so... You know, that's
Sean Shelby told me, yeah, that guy's bipolar. That's what he said.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, James Vick, you know I'm a fan for life. Keep up the great work. Being a great father. I'll watch all your fights. Thanks for coming on the podcast, man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, man.
And have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. Later.
Take care. All right, that was James Vick, just a badass fighter. Well, hope you guys enjoyed the podcast today. If you guys shop on Amazon, go to adamhunter.com first, click on the Amazon banner, and then get whatever you want. You could see me. I'll be at Reno at the Laugh Factory tonight to Sunday, which is March, today, 21st, I think. Then I'm at the Ice House April 13th in Hollywood, or in Pasadena. I'm at the Black Box Theater in Boca Raton, Florida, April 19th and 20th. I'm at Gotham Comedy Club, May 16th in New York. Paradise Casino in Yuma, Arizona, June 1st. The Avi Casino in Laughlin, June 7th. Comedy Cave in Calgary, June 11th through the 16th. Minnesota House of Comedy, June 19th through the 23rd. Then I'm at Off the Hook Comedy Club, July 18th through the 21st. July 1st to the 7th at the Comedy Club in Stratosphere. That's Fight Week. September 4th through the 8th, I'm at the Comic Strip in Edmonton. And September 18th to the 22nd, the House of Comedy in Phoenix, Arizona. October 21st to the 27th, the Las Vegas Laugh Factory. Thank you all to my guests for calling in. My man, James Vick. You are the best. And Sean McCorkle as well. Thank you guys so much. Take care and have a great day. Түүний сонс тө хөвч юм дөрвөлэн. Та дэс дуутан дөрвөлэн бүрүүлэн.